Now, first, tonight, when I have it, I spend it. When I don't, I won't. The infamously iconic budget saying from former Finance Minister Charlie McCreevy. And so, Jack Horgan-Jones, next Tuesday, how much does the government have to spend?
Well, the overall package is $8.3 billion. Additional spending is out of that $6.9 billion in the tax package is about $1.4 billion. Now, that $6.9 billion of new spending is a little bit misleading because a lot of that is going to be eaten up by things like the public service pay agreement and what's called ELS in the jargon, the existing level of service, which is just money that they need to do the same kind of stuff that they did last year. So the actual part that's left over for new permanent measures is $1.8 billion. So it sounds like a lot of money, and the state spends a lot of money every year, about $100 billion every year. But if you look at what they're actually fighting over, the pot is $1.8 billion plus the $1.4 billion in tax.
And that's then very copious amounts of government departments.
15 very hungry cabinet ministers, yeah, like baby chicks waiting to be fed. So the 1.5, sorry, and then there's what has become a regular occurrence over the last 3 years. The once-off measures are now in their third year. So we think that there's going to be a package of once-off measures, things like the electricity credit, things like double welfare payments. And our expectation at the moment is that will be worth about $1.5 billion. Wouldn't be surprised to see if that nosed up a little bit, 1.6, 1.7, as we get closer, because there has been a pretty strong signal from the electorate, most notably in the very excellent Irish Times polling of last week, which showed that when it came to issues that are preoccupying the voters and what they want to see in the budget, cost of living roared right back up to the top, well ahead of expectations, and mixing it up with the likes of housing and immigration again.
And Tony Foley, this national spending rule, it will be perhaps in the mind of some politicians, but it has also been ignored. What is it, and what's its interplay with what we should expect on Tuesday?
You may recall we had the Maastricht criteria years ago, 3% borrowing and 60% of national debt. And then with COVID, that was forgotten about. So the government in 2021 brought in its own rule, which basically said it could increase expenditure by 5% per year. And that was largely based on a 3% real growth in GDP and a 2% price change. So if we had a 5% increase in expenditure, it'd keep kind of the expenditure level relative to GDP constant. Now, we could increase expenditure beyond that if we identified new taxes to pay for it. So it wasn't a total ironclad constraint, but you had to identify the taxes to pay for it. It's important to point out, though, that that's our rule. In fact, that's the government's rule. It's not an EU rule or whatever. They don't test it and examine it. So the opposition are not bound by that rule. The Irish Fiscal Advisory Council has continuously complain that the government has exceeded that rule and it should go back because it worries about too much spending overheating the economy. So this year, for example, government expenditure will grow by just under 7%. So they've broken the rule.
Yeah.
Now, their defence is, well, the population is growing faster than we realised and we've got all these particular problems, so we'll account for that.
So IFAC are saying, the Fiscal Advisory Council, to cool the jets, if you will. What of the alternative budgets? We'll go into the detail in a moment, but do they adhere to this spending rule or come anywhere close?
They don't give the same detail and the same classification as the budget figures will be in finance, but basically no, they don't. Labour, for example, makes a virtue of saying we're spending more than that. Sinn Féin says we're deliberately spending more than that to account for housing, other infrastructure and so on. People Before Profit is an interesting case, which I'll come back to. And the Social Democrats seem to be exceeding it, but it's not quite clear whether their expenditure figure is the original sort of money that's there for including cost of existing services or just the additional money. So basically, no, they're not committing to it. But as I say, they don't have to. People Before Profit is an interesting case. Depends on what you define as taxes and that. They're talking about an expenditure of about $56 billion extra. An enormous amount of extra expenditure, but financed by an enormous amount of extra taxes. But they're including in their resources the surplus from last year, which you can't really do carrying it forward to next year, and also the Apple money. So you could quibble about whether the Apple money is a new tax or whether it's just fortuitous revenue from another
source. Let's look at some of the budgets now. But first, money that perhaps will be going back into people's pocket on Tuesday. And Jack Horgan-Jones, the universal social charge, news tonight on this.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of anything you can do, I can do better, particularly if I'm in government to play here. So earlier on, we had the Sinn Féin alternative budget come out, and they were saying that they were going to get rid of the USC, or rather they would in government get rid of the USC on incomes up to 45,000, I think it was, starting with the first 30,000. And not to be outdone, we have news emerging from the meeting of coalition leaders and finance ministers this evening that Jack Chambers, the finance minister, wants to slash the USC on incomes between 25,000 and 70,000, I think it is.
That's right, yes.
That is the old 4.5% rate, went down to 4% in the last budget, first time in many, many, many years. They want to bring it down to 3%. And the obvious competitive advantage that the government have, and this is true of the alternative budgets, is that they can actually do this if they want.
And it had been mooted that they would go for a 0.5% cut rather than a 1% cut, so now down to 3%. And just on what we were saying earlier, Richard Boyd Barrett was saying that they would, I think, spread out the Apple money multi-annually. But in relation to the universal social charge, I'll just stick with the USC for a second, Tony. Labour are saying they'd reduce it for lower earners. We heard what Sinn Féin would do. We now know perhaps what the coalition will do next Tuesday, and people before profit would abolish it. Suzanne, the USC, it's quite a crude instrument in gathering tax, but for lower and middle income earners, what does it mean, and perhaps what do some of those measures mean?
I mean, just to go back to your original point about what's in the mix here, like the summary economic statement, as you said, sets out, just to give a bit of context for those figures, 1.4 billion in tax cuts, that's an extra fiver for most of us, you know what I mean? So it's just to give an idea of what these massive numbers actually mean when we open our paychecks. So and again, it's about choices. Government is making a decision with that 1.4 billion. It could probably do something else with it than give you, me, and, you know, each of us a fiver. So, it, you know, when we're looking at the lower income households and we're looking about, you know, definitely I think they need to be looking at the longer term, not these one-off measures. If we're going to look at what we call the working poor, about 145,000 people in the country who are employed and who are in poverty. One in every five, I think, of people who are in consistent poverty are employed. So I think there's other ways that you can come at this in terms of maybe refundable tax credits, which I know People Before Profit and Soc Dems both mention in theirs. So there, I think there are other ways to put money back into the pockets of low-income households. You know, maybe rather than, you know, because again, I think what I don't want to see really is, like, our taxation actually needs to expand. We need to be collecting more and more income. Who we collect it from and how we collect it, obviously, is part of the discussion.
So what of the universal social charge then, obviously being reduced, as you say, but the other parties abolishing it altogether, yeah. People Before Profit, Sinn Féin getting rid of it for the first 45,000?
I mean, if you do that, where are you going to get the money from then? So something has to be replaced. Everything needs to be paid for. The question is, does government pay for it? You know, again, a lot of these are looking at maybe, you know, childcare is a big issue. They're looking at different ways of paying for childcare. So I think, you know, a lot of this will have to be a case of, if they do go ahead with that, it's going to put, as I said, relatively small amounts of money back in our pockets, the price of a newspaper. And then every summer I'm going to buy a newspaper, and on the front of the newspaper is going to be all of these children who don't, with, you know, with additional needs, who don't have a school place, or a trolley crisis every winter. So I'm kind of going, well, maybe you could keep my extra fiver and pool it together with everybody else's fivers.
Well, there's lots of mentions, I think, of wealth taxes as well. People Before Profit, a millionaire's tax, Social Democrats, a super wealth tax, Labour, a wealth tax, Sinn Féin would establish a wealth tax commission to examine the benefits of wealth taxes. And we heard Piers Doherty this morning on about what he termed gold-plated pensions as well. So those perhaps could go somewhat towards what you're talking about. Tanya, what cost of living measures stood out for you, and even on this USC development tonight, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree. Five euros in your pocket isn't, you don't notice it. You know, it's milk, loaf of bread. It's not enough for a lot of families. I think what's more significant, if you have that kind of money, is to invest it in services. So if you take childcare, for example, all the political parties have very ambitious plans when it comes to childcare. And what's really clear from all of it is they all have the eye on the election as well. And I thought what's really significant is they're all talking about moving to a public childcare system. And we are one of the few countries in Europe that doesn't have a public system. We have a private system, a mix of for-profits and not-for-profits. And the for-profits have shareholders, and they're, you know, they're paid, they pass their profits on. All of the opposition parties are pointing in the direction of moving towards a public system. A big focus, I think, for a lot of them is focusing on affordability. And I suppose not to outdo each other, but both Sinn Féin and Labour are saying they'd reduce the cost of childcare to 10 euros a day. That would help a lot of families, obviously, those middle income families, families on the industrial wage. Now, that doesn't help families on very low incomes. A mum who might be in third level education on welfare payments or a Susie grant trying to get herself into a good job. So what you see elsewhere in the budget is a focus on creating fully funded space. So Labour are talking about creating 6,000 of those spaces. A focus in the Soc Dems proposals, and again, you see some of this in some of the other proposals as well, is a focus on capital development of early year sites. They're talking about investing 100 million in developing sites, and they will be in public ownership, because one of the big problems throughout Ireland is there aren't enough early learning settings in operation, and a lot of it is reliant on individual not-for-profits or companies to go off and develop the different settings. One of the areas where I'm most focused on in the Children's Rights Alliance is on those children on very low incomes, let's say, that would experience a lot of marginalisation. It's actually the people for profit, and some reflection in Sinn Féin where they're going to invest in those children.
And Tony, what about the one-off payments? Well, they're hardly one-off now. This might be the third year of them. And there's different proposals around those. What did you make of those?
They're all very similar. There's not going to be much difference. We might be arguing about 50 for this or 100 for that, but it's basically talking about credits for electricity, double payments for social welfare payments, much the same package as the government.
The Social Democrats have a tapered proposal.
The
where
Social Democrats
kind of less into it. They're less kind of grabby about it.
The Social Democrats are probably the more interesting of all the four submissions in that they do make their promises, but they don't make huge amounts of promises. So, for example, they're talking about a childcare cost per week of 250.
Yeah.
Whereas the others are talking about 10 euro a day.
Yeah.
So they're fundamentally out of step with the ethos on the left parties, as it were. So I can presume that's going to change fairly quickly. In terms of their one-off payments, they don't give that big list that all the others do of the cost of living. So the Social Democrats wouldn't be as big as the others, but they do have the extra social welfare payments, and
they
have a credit.
Those one-off payments,
they taper it off with three wage bands.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, it's interesting.
The lowest one, 150, and then 250 and 350.
What's interesting on the childcare side of things is that, I mean, I was talking earlier on about the USC and the fact that the government obviously have a lever at their disposal, the lever of power and budget making, that the opposition don't. But on childcare, they're not pulling that lever this time. So they have put an awful lot of money, still not huge amounts, relatively speaking, to other comparable governments around the world, but they put a huge amount of money into the National Childcare Scheme in the last couple of years, and this year, in an election year, they're not doing it. So while the rest of the political system and the opposition is going around saying 10 euro a day, 250 a week, whatever it may be, they've basically fired their bullets on making the cost of childcare cheaper for parents at the point of access. And they've made some quite considerable progress on it. But I think the fact that you see so many of the opposition parties still looking to make hay in it indicates that, you know, more needs to be done there. And that's a clear assessment that's been made across the political system.
Yeah.
Whereas Rádhaka Gorman this year is going to be looking for, I think, more money for core funding, which is the main scheme that they use to pay the providers. But I don't think parents are going to get it.
He's also looking for a one-off payment himself as well.
The baby boost.
Yes, the baby boost.
Best branding of the budget so far, the baby boost. Yeah. A quadruple payment for new parents, basically. Four times the child benefit in the month that the baby is born.
I think just on the childcare side, I think, though, what a lot of the opposition parties are proposing is really their programme for government, is really what they'd want to see. Because you're not going to be able to reduce the cost of childcare to 10 euros a day at this moment in time. Because one of the problems is that price of childcare is different depending on which county you're in. So they actually have to overhaul the whole system and move to a public model to be able to do something like that.
Kicking the ball out to the field with his public consultation, isn't he not? Back to you, Suzanne, for a second as well. We were talking earlier about the fiver in the pocket. What about the social welfare rates? Sinn Féin Green proposing to raise them by €12, Labour by €20, the Social Democrats by €25, and People Before Profit would increase the social protection payment to €300 per week. How far would those proposals go, do you think?
I mean, again, to try and put it into context, average wages in Ireland have grown by 32.8% between 2013 and 2023. And then when I went and did the same calculation to job seekers, it's gone up about 17%. So it's falling behind. And then Age Action did an analysis of inflation that showed €100 in 2024 has the same spending power that €84 had in 2020. So just for people on fixed incomes, you know, and I know, we all go around the supermarket, you're either putting less in your trolley because you're trying to spend the same amount of money, or you're putting less in your trolley and, you know, you're trying to save money. Because so it's just for those on fixed incomes, this is really, really, really important. The Soc Dems are talking about a core of 25 across. Now, that didn't seem to go into too much detail. That seemed to be all,
yeah, just all, what we all have, yeah.
You know, with 30 then for disability. So again, there was an acknowledgement in all of them that there's a cost that comes with...
And this is an additional payment, the cost, yeah, of disability, cost of payment, disability, yeah. €30. There's been a lot of research on the increased costs, yeah, for those.
Massive. There was a green paper, there was submissions, there was a lot of work done on this. The Sinn Féin one, I think, is really, really interesting because it's €12 for those of working age, 12 for carers, 20 for disability. Maybe we might touch on the qualified child stuff. But for those on job seekers allowance, they're only going to get a tenner. So, which I thought was extraordinary.
But that dog leg apparently is under consideration by the government as well. So they're talking about doing £15 for pensioners less for job seekers.
When I saw that being flown, I went, she wouldn't. She wouldn't. And then to see it in the Sinn Féin, I just thought it was extraordinary. Yeah. So what the signal you're sending is, like to quote as a UK writer, Danny Dorling, and he talks about, like, we look at sort of people experiencing poverty, people living in poverty. It's they're just not trying hard enough to not be poor. And what we're going to do is punish them for being poor by making them poorer. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, I think Heather Humphreys didn't want the job seekers allowance, according to the newspaper reports and crunch talks, as they always are before the budget. She didn't want it to be the same rise as the others. And there was resistance from within Fianna Fáil to that.
And just on the child payments. So Sinn Féin has a different proposal when it comes to welfare payments for children. So obviously they're all talking about increases in child benefit and bonus payments of child benefit. And, you know, we really would prefer them to start with, you know, that one in five families where children are in forced deprivation. And there's very good ways to target them. But what's interesting from Sinn Féin's proposal is for families on welfare payments, they're only proposing children to get an extra €5 a week. That's kind of in line with the way the government has funded.
They're increasing
that space.
The monthly rate of child benefit by €10, Sinn Féin, giving all access to parents, as we said, to childcare for €10 a day, a double payment in October, a double payment in December. That goes beyond the current administration as well.
Those measures are really important, but for those very low income families, that won't go far enough. Whereas what you see Labour Party and Soc Dems doing, they are saying, no, what we'll do is we'll give an extra €6 for children under 12 on welfare payments and €15 for children over 12. And that would be in line with trying to deal with the cost of living measures. Mm. One of the things that does frustrate me, though, some of the parties do talk about children in direct provision. And children in direct provision have been the only group of children this government in its 5 years has done nothing for in each budget.
And the Social Democrats are proposing something here, I think.
That's right. They're proposing a child benefit payment for children in direct provision.
Tony Foley, just to come back to yourself for a second, because I was talking to one pensioner, they were apoplectic. They were only getting perhaps €15 when the Apple money was coming into the government's coffers. They wanted more. But how much of a delicate balancing act is it for the government, in one way perhaps keeping the less well off to avoid driving up inflation?
Apart from driving up inflation, they're on a hiding to nothing because, as you say, the public sees they've got this vast amount of money. Why can't they spend it? Well, first of all, it's a once-off payment. So at the best, might you should do is spend the interest on it, which will be a relatively small amount of money. But if you spend it on social welfare payments, well, then when it runs out, you have a problem. One of the particular interesting things about the social welfare payments, and you've mentioned the figures, is why the Sinn Féin figure is so low relative to the others. like the weekly social welfare increase that they're proposing, 12 versus 25 versus 20. I was shocked when I saw the 12 coming from Sinn Féin. And again, my expectation would be that that'll change before the election comes, that that's not sustainable as a policy position.
Is it perhaps just doing up the sums and trying to come to a figure that is true and accurate?
No, because they have such a long list of tax increases. All they have to do is say, well, we look for 500 from the bank levy instead of 400 or 600 instead of 500.
They do pull back levers, though. I mean, my understanding is that Piers Doherty is super, super diligent and annoying about this when they're pulling together the alternative budget. And when you look closely, even though we're talking about the promises they made on childcare and so on, and they have this quite headline-grabbing and eye-catching figure in €10 a day. If you look and compare it to the 2024 Sinn Féin alternative budget, there's less allocated to that particular line item in 25 than there was in 24, despite the extra political attention on it. So I think they do pull back, and perhaps that is one of the ways in which they're trying to just create a bit of, to use the dreaded term, fiscal space for themselves, the promises.
Say that when the election,
but I think
comes,
you're right, yeah.
You think there'll be a reversal?
Be competitive with the other rates.
You could put the 15 euro on that perhaps, Tony, and I think Labour and People Before Profit, they'd also extend child benefits to children in direct provision as well. Suzanne, what about carers and those with disabilities? You touched upon it slightly. Did anything stand out there? We had a major discussion last night on the programme for provisions for carers.
I think it was interesting to see that it was acknowledged all the way through. You know what I mean? So they all had sections on... I've chopped up all of my pre-budget submissions here, or all of my alternative budgets. So, like, all of them have massive sections on disability and care. So, again, just really reassuring that this is a space that is being tackled. I mean, there's an enormous amount of people in Ireland living with an impairment of some shape or form. Employment within disabled people is at, the lowest in Europe. So, for many people living with an impairment, disabled people, people with disabilities, they are living in poverty because employment isn't always...
I think some of the measures, and Heather Humphreys points out, she's the first minister in 14 years to change the means test, but Sinn Féin is proposing a €500 lump sum to carers and increasing the allowance by €12. It would relax the means test and introduce a pay-related carers benefit. The Social Democrats would increase the allowance by €25 and the disciplinary care allowance by €15 along with other measures. Labour, they have a whole host of extra supports, including an increased income disregards and respite grants with an aim towards phasing means testing out completely. And the People Before Profit says it would abolish the mean test. Again, they've lots more on this, so read them if you can. But Tanya, well, what would strike you from what you heard there?
Yeah, I think for just looking at this area, and if you go back to what's happening from a disability point of view, I mean, the poverty statistics tell us that if you have a disability, if you're a parent caring for your child and you have a disability, or if your child has a disability, you're more likely to be in deprivation. So it's essential that they're taken care of in the budget. And you saw the anger at the recent referendum. Like, people were broken from every day what they're living through. I mean, one of the big things about having a disability is, you know, you're more likely to probably have to rely on taxis. You're probably more likely to have higher medical costs as a result.
What of the means test? Because Leo Varadkar, as Taoiseach, did initiate a review of the entitlements for carers, and also on that means test off the back of that referendum in March. And we believe that that review should be completed in the next few weeks, the Dáil heard this week. So the means test, is it still fit for purpose, do you think, when it comes to the carer's allowance?
I think for the vast majority of people who are in this situation, who are in a caring situation, I think it is causing a major issue for them. So it has to be, I think, looked at going forward. Something else that could be missed as well in the budget statements is in relation to foster carers. And foster carers are providing this extraordinary service to the state, caring for children in care. We've some of the highest rates of foster caring in Europe. Unfortunately, many are actually leaving the field. And what's really worrying, I suppose, is the foster care payment. While there's been some recent increases in recent years, it's still not enough to deal with the cost of living issues, to be honest. And the state is paying a fortune for emergency settings because foster carers aren't being cared for and looked after. And Sinn Féin is proposing to give them a bonus payment in the budget.
And double. The issue issue of education, Jack. We've obviously touched upon childcare. What other kites are being flown on Merrion Street, and what else is the opposition proposing on this?
Yeah, just very briefly on the whole space of disability and carers and child poverty. I mean, the guys are much more expert in this than I am, but the fact that this is kind of front and centre of all the alternative budgets, it shows you something, that they've detected a political weakness there in the government, that they feel that there's a soft underbelly there for them to attack. So the fact that everyone's going for it, I think, is instructive. And maybe
the reaction to John Fogarty's eloquent article and contribution on the Claire Byrne show recently as well would pick to that.
Exactly. Anything that makes governments look callous, indifferent, uncaring is a big vulnerability going into an election cycle. So while I'm sure the politicians, the opposition politicians, are all doing this because it's the right thing to do, of course, but also there is a political element to everything politicians do.
I'm reading the room from the last referendum. You could see the anger among people caring for their children or family members, and for people who have an impairment or a disability. You know, you have to read the room and see for what it is, and look at the budget and the programme for government.
Did you just on that point, like I did note in Labour's one that they support, like there's a line in there about kinship care, which again I just thought was interesting. It was good to see that acknowledged.
Yeah,
I found my education notes.
You're okay.
Unfortunately,
Jack,
they're only one line.
But I know that the People Before Profit are looking at 375 extra therapists to assist with the backlog and assessments of needs, for instance, which is a big one. But I think we have free school books and other
free
such like
books,
as well.
Which is free something that was kind of held back last year until the very last day before the budget. I think it was the Sunday before the budget, and then they unleashed that on the world, and I think it's been relatively popular. But the idea is, I think, both in government and within opposition, to expand that through all of senior cycle up to leaving cert. And then, as he says, free everything. Yeah, it's free school meals, expansion of school meals, hot school meals program into the summer.
No voluntary contributions
no
anymore.
No voluntary contributions, free school transport. And this could be interchangeable between government and opposition. You know, a lot of the positioning is quite similar here.
There's a cut, Patrick O'Donovan, looking at in college fees, and Sinn Féin looking at a 1,500 cut in college fees as well. What impact
see, again,
that
I think
have?
That's the same though, right? Because I think that as a once-off measure, it was 500, it went to 1,000. And I think Patrick Donovan wants it to go to 1,500. So I presume that's the same 1,500 that the Sinn Féin guys are looking for. So it's a halving, more or less. I think where I'll be paying attention is whether that is made permanent or whether it stays in the once off.
One of the things I thought was missing in the education budgets, and of course they were all really impressive, and there's accessibility is really important, and dealing with the cost of running schools, because we know they're so underfunded. But one thing I didn't see was there's talk of expanding the DESH programme in some of the proposals, introducing a DESH Plus programme, which would be really welcome. But nearly half of children in poverty are not in the DESH programme at all. And that got picked up by the OECD recently. And they're throughout the country. Many are in rural Ireland. And there is a real need for the government to come up with some other alternative, create a fund, give schools a bit of flexibility. Maybe they need extra teachers. Maybe they need extra help at breakfast clubs, things like
and
that.
And the free school meals is something you've been calling for and advocating as well.
That's right. I mean, you can see it's hugely popular. But one of the things I would have wanted to have seen, there's a recognition of hot school meals in Sinn Féin, People for Profit, Labour. But one of the things I would have wanted to have seen is what happens in those summer months for people, because the hot school meal is like children will tell us, parents will tell us, our kids are getting to eat because of the hot school meal, and the summer months is crisis for a lot of families. So you'd expect to see some sort of bridging programme to help those families in that period.
Tony Foley, to bring you back in here for a second, we always hear of the so-called squeeze middle, or the people who get up early in the morning in political parlance. Who does best for that so-called cohort from what you see?
You won't believe it, but People Before Profit, they're going to abolish the USC. They're going to index at a low rate, 2% tax bans. They're going to increase taxes above 100,000. So if we're defining the squeeze middle class as up to 100,000 income, which is quite high, they've got the best deal. The others are obviously give certain returns to them. So say, for example, the Sinn Féin abolishing USC for the first 45,000 helps everybody. Indexation of tax bans help everyone. But People Before Profit has, as I say, an amazing proposal to abolish the USC for anything up to 100,000.
Well, it was supposed to be temporary, wasn't it? Those of us who studied the economic
crash. Oh, yes, so they believe
crash.
In the temporary. But can I come back to one overall point and everything? One thing that struck me about the budget, and I know the budget is a year, although there are some references to, you know, we'll phase out out property tax over 5 years.
That's
with
it,
Sinn Féin,
yeah.
Or Sinn Féin again, USC over 2 years and so on. And a number of them talk about the need to increase tax over the longer term. But echoing what my two colleagues beside me are saying, there's no, to me, no vision or perspective of what we're heading towards. Like you say, children, disadvantaged children or low earners. Like, what's the ultimate objective? Is the living wage the ultimate objective? Is it
the minimum
15
wage
or
being
20
increased
euros?
By Sinn Féin, yeah.
Is it 20 euros a week on social welfare all we're going to do for the next 10 years? So what sort of vision of society is in there? None of them, to me, produce that vision of what we're ultimately, even if we take a while to get there, what we actually want to do when we get there.
Would you have any concern as a professor in economics about the proposal out of government buildings tonight to cut the USC by 1%, that it might narrow the tax base somewhat?
It will narrow the tax base. One of the attractions of the USC that the Department of Finance likes is that there's no allowances at all for it. It's X percent of everything. It doesn't matter whether you have VHI payments or have various things that you would have as tax deductible. You pay it on your gross income. So it's a nice, simple way of collecting tax. But if you go back to sort of having some sort of faith in government, it was promised as a temporary measure. It was a crisis measure. We are not in that sort of crisis at present. So the logic of keeping it is simply we get the revenue. So incorporate it into higher rates of income tax if required, but don't have it as an emergency tax.
We talked about the squeeze middle, but before we go to a quick suspiog, perhaps, Suzanne, a one-line sum up of who has done best for the less well-off in the budget proposals that you've digested thus far?
I will have to echo. From what I can see here, it seems to be, again, for those who are the furthest behind, I think it would have to be people before profit. But just to even pick up on the education piece, like, housing is linked into that so much. I mean, in terms of where teachers get to live, where you know, the sort of the types of supports that schools can provide. I mean, I know sort of schools in my area, like, they're not able to provide certain subjects for exams because they can't get the teachers. Now, we are a highly educated country. I refuse to believe that in a modest Dublin suburb, you cannot get somebody to teach construction studies or German,
at
second level.
That is what we are hearing from the unions and so on at them. Tanya, for you, who has done the best for perhaps those who might be struggling tonight?
Yeah, I mean, look, overall, you have to say it is people before profit in terms of the overall scope. But look, there's lots of really good stuff here from a children and youth perspective, to be honest. And some of them do better on other issues, that, you know. So, for example, if you take youth services, right, which is, youth services are playing a really fundamental role throughout the country, engaging young people in after schools activities and really developing them in a whole different way. What you can see is both Sinn Féin and the Sóc Dems are talking about 15 million additional investment in youth services. I mean, I think that's really good to see. People for profit talk about it as well. But something else that could be missed, and I think it's really important to just, some of the details are important, but what really struck me was recreation, sports, things like that, because children's essential needs aren't just about food and housing. It's also about the other stuff that makes you happy and enjoy getting up every day. And what you can see is Sinn Féin are talking about a culture card for junior infants and senior infants, and that'd be
and Sinn Féin also want to abolish the licence fee, an ever popular proposal,
suggest. Not very popular here, I'd say. But Sóc Dems are also talking about a culture card, a sports voucher as well, €150 for 6 to 18 year olds. And even Labour Party are talking about getting tax back, let's say, for paying for certain memberships. So let's say your GAA membership is €500, you get €100 back. That's all very important, because we know families, what they are doing is they're putting food on the table, but they're missing out on all those extra things, the social outings, getting the kids to hurling, getting the kids to swimming. So all of that could make a difference.
And Jack Horgan Jones, I mean, you've heard what the contributors have said there and looked at some of it, some of these proposals, but it was the government's downfall going into the 2016 election, wasn't it? Their keep the recovery slogan going, Enda Kenny and the Labour Party, and people didn't believe that slogan. So given what you've heard there and given what we expect from the coalition, do you think the coalition can convince people that everyone is included in their proposals next week?
So the question is basically, is this going to work to buy the election? More or less.
More or less, but for all cohorts.
For all cohorts. Look, it's kind of hard to say, right? Because, you know, this electorate hasn't had a giveaway budget pre-election, I mean, basically ever, as you say. In 2016, we were just kind of coming out of austerity. 2020, I mean, the criticism was that budget 2020 didn't go far enough, and Pascal Donohue was in everyone's sights for that. So, like, a proper giveaway budget, we don't actually know how this electorate is going to react to it, because the last time we got one was back in the Celtic Tiger days, and probably a significant percentage of the electorate wasn't able to vote back then. I think that the polling evidence so far arising from the big giveaway budgets of the last two or three years would suggest that there's no big polling dividend for the government. But I think that the absence of a negative can be a positive. So I think that, you know, they haven't been punished for not going far enough. Mm-hmm. And if you're heading into an election and you're already fairly buoyant in the polls, certainly if you're Simon Harris anyway, you know, all the political logic supports going in this direction.
A nil all draw is better than a 1-0 defeat. Isn't that what they say? And a special thanks to Labour and People Before Profit, who gave us their budgets ahead of their launches tomorrow, and for allowing us to break some of their embargoes. Of course, all the alternative budget proposals are available online. We'll put them there as well. And we'll be back after the break to talk housing.
The Late Debate on RTE Radio 1.
Welcome back. Barry Lenehan here with you tonight, standing in for Colm. And a reminder of our panel: Tanya Ward of the Children's Rights Alliance, Tony Foley of Emeritus Professor at DCU, Suzanne Rogers of Social Justice Ireland, and Jack Horgan-Jones from the Irish Times. You've been getting in touch to 51551. A reduction of USC from 4% to 3% is worth €2.75 per week for someone earning €40,000. It's worth €8.50 per week for someone earning €70,000. Don't call it slashed when it's pittance back to overtaxed PAYE workers. Des O'Connell there with that one there. Keep them coming to 51551. To housing now, a big issue, of course. Many measures here from each party looking at how to increase supply, but also on personal measures for renters. Jack, what's on the tom-tom drums on Merrion Street around this one, and what are Sinn Féin and the others proposing to take it back?
Well, so housing is a funny one, because they've done a lot of what they're going to do in housing, and a lot of it is kind of the big kind of schemes that Dara Bryan has rolled out, Help to Buy, First Home Scheme, all the various Croí Cónaithes, town, cities, whatever you're having yourself. So I'm actually not expecting a huge amount of kind
tax
of
tax credits, mortgage interest relief. Will there
mortgage
be?
Interest relief, I think, is going to be extended. That's something that was introduced last year, and I think that's going to be extended again this year, even though the inflationary pressures and the high interest rate environment aren't quite as acute. But I think it is going to stay. Tax credits, yes. So there's a €750 tax credit in place for renters. That's going to be topped up this year by €250 and also next year. So you're going to get €1,000 this year and €1,000 next year. But some stuff, I think, isn't going to happen. So they wanted to expand Help to Buy. So make it basically so a renter could contribute to eligibility for the top payout under Help to Buy by using their rent payments as opposed to their tax payments. It's a little bit technical. Apparently that's not going to happen, is my understanding. And also the caps on Help to Buy on the value of the property eligible.
The report today from the Oireachtas parliamentary, or the report, the news out today about the Help to Buy scheme, that it tended to be higher earners who ended up buying more expensive houses than other first time buyers. Would that have perhaps fed into the government's thinking here?
To an extent, yeah. And it kind of goes on top of a fairly big pile of reports that have been critical of Help to Buy over the years. So there was the Mazars report that was done for the Department of Finance. Parliamentary Budget Office did one. KPMG did one. Against that, I think there was a CBI report, a Central Bank of Ireland report last year, that was kind of more hedged on whether it was inflationary or not. But like, the thing is that the government are devoted to Help to Buy, because they can see that it does, in the round, turn potential buyers into buyers, deeply imperfect as it is. So that's the political lure of that, because if your renter becomes a buyer and a homeowner, you're probably more likely to vote for one of the kind of mainstream
but
parties.
Some of the others, in terms of what they're suggesting, People Before Profit would increase HAP limits to the level of average rents as an interim measure, and they'd increase the renter's tax credit to €3,000 pending the introduction of maximum rent controls and prior to the housing list being cleared. The Labour Party would freeze rent for 3 years as would Sinn Féin, and Labour would double the rent tax credit to €1,500 in 2024 and 25. Sinn Féin said earlier it would give renters a month's rent at a minimum payment of €1,000 for each adult renter. And they all, in different ways, are pushing the building of more sociable and affordable homes and cost rental, and they all want state-owned construction to do that. The Social Democrats, interestingly, wanted to introduce compulsory purchase of and then to renovate vacant and derelict houses. So lots there. Suzanne Rogers, what stood out for you on housing?
There's a couple of interesting bits here. Again, you know, the Social Democrats are, you know, looking at homelessness prevention, which was reassuring, as opposed to putting money into temporary accommodation. I thought that was good. I mean, again, you know, vacant dereliction, that comes up across all the way. I thought the People Before Profit to remove the income limits for public housing, I thought, again, was really interesting. So opening up access to public or social housing to everybody, I just think is probably the
like
way we're
going
to have
kind
that's
of
model, it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
what we've done with social housing is it's the residualization of it. It's a thing. Well, you are here because you, there's nowhere else for you. So I just thought that was a really, really interesting thing. Again, maybe a cultural shift might be needed for that. Then there was in the so much paper here. There was something else in the Labour that caught my eye. Again, yeah, housing first for families in complex needs, maybe in emergency accommodation, again, which is something we've been calling for a long time. So again, I was really pleased to see that. But with the renter's tax credit, I mean, we did a little piece of work last year. People earning between, say, you know, naught and 10,000, their average claim was €474. They got €1 back in their benefit. People earning between 10 and 20 claimed €485 average claims. Average benefit back was €84. People earning between 20 and 30, again, the claim was €497, but the benefit back was €458. So I just think this isn't this kind of panacea. So if you just increase that, either double it or add another £500 onto it, it's not going to make a massive, massive, massive difference. Mm. But again, I appreciate as a headline, it looks amazing.
And Tony, what stood out for you?
The idea of a state construction company, which was recommended by a couple of the proposals. And I don't know whether it'd work or not. Obviously, we wouldn't want the same way we built the children's hospital as where it was operated by the state. And in the past, remember, local authorities did build accommodation and they did repair it and maintain it. And generally, it was considered a cost disaster and they got out of it and so on.
So but Labour is, People Before Profit and Sinn Féin, I think, are suggesting that, aren't they?
Well, no, it's the Labour Party is like suggesting a construction company as well. So it's so widespread. Sinn Féin haven't exactly sped it in their budget proposals as opposed to their housing document. Mm. But would it work? That's the interesting thing. Would the state development agency build the houses? Would it hire people to build the houses? It's beyond doubt that the free market has not produced the number of houses that we want.
And it
we
took
need
the Land
better.
Development Agency quite a few years
yes,
to get anything
right,
up and running
yeah.
either.
That's right. And not a lot came out of it either. And even the Land Development Commission is not great in terms of doing things very quickly. So I think we need to look a bit more at how we will deliver the houses as opposed to putting money at them. One criticism I'd have about most of the budget proposals, and probably about the government as well when it comes, is that it's still to throw money at it. We will allocate X billion. We will allocate 1.2 billion. We will allocate a certain amount of money, but very little discussion of, well, what exactly will we hope to do with that? For example, putting extra money in to get extra care workers. Will we get them? Putting extra money in to get extra guards. Will we get them? We've a problem recruiting them at present. Mm. So there's not enough devoted to what are we going to do with this money and in what way will it actually deliver physical services on the ground?
What about freezing rents? Is that a problematic proposal?
I think it is personally, because I think one of the problems is incentive to provide these facilities. If you expect a private entrepreneur to provide rental accommodation, well, then unless it's sufficiently incentivized, it's not going to do so. So if you freeze rents, well, then it's obviously not a particularly attractive business to be in. One of the interesting things from the other side of housing is that a number of the proposals propose to basically put levies or take away tax incentives from the various private sector organisations which are heavily involved in housing and rental and so on. So at the same time, they want huge amounts of houses. They're reducing the incentive of some of the suppliers to actually supply those houses.
Tanya, what about you? That the crisis of our time, we're told, housing and homelessness for people that you might see and might represent, did anything stand out for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's driving so many social problems in Ireland, including poverty rates, to be honest. The government introduced lots of national measures, and unfortunately the cost of rent and housing is eating up household income. So it has to be the priority in this budget, and obviously in the programme for government as well. I mean, I like some of the measures against the corporate sector, like ending the bulk buying a home, some of those kind of measures, because, I mean, we would meet families on an everyday basis who are competing against, you know, companies trying to purchase houses. So some of those measures, I think, will be very popular.
That years ago, I remember the housing market in Ireland being heavily criticised because the rental sector was run by small entrepreneurs, one and two properties. There was no sophistication associated with it. The service the client got was poor. And if only we had organised landlords like they have throughout Europe and so on, things would be better. We get the organised landlords in. They have to buy the properties, obviously, to rent them. And then when we have them, we want to take away the incentives that brought them in the first place. So I think we have to decide what we actually want in the housing market.
I think the costs are too high.
Those apartments are great.
Yeah.
But the cost isn't due to the fact that someone is in on an organised basis and buying 50 apartments.
But
the thing is, people are still living in them. It's not as if they're empty. So yeah, but they are
outrageously expensive. We lived in one of those build to rent developments for a few months when we were selling our house last year, and the new house wasn't ready, and it was brilliant. Like, you know, they're quiet and warm and built really well, and I've lived in my fair share of Celtic Tiger and pre-Celtic Tiger apartments, and they're not any of those things. The problem was it was £3,000 a month.
Yeah.
I agree totally, but that's a question of supply overall throughout the whole market.
Who did
best in housing then?
I mean, the two that kind of jumped out for me, I think, was Sinn Féin and the Soc Dems, because there was a lot of detail, I think, particularly in the Soc Dems. So particularly the stuff I really welcomed was like traveller specific housing, and like you, the prevention, the focus on homelessness prevention, because that has actually worked. If you look at where the government has invested in some of those programmes, it has actually worked. And the harm caused to children when their families are made homeless. And what we know with the homeless figures at the moment, about half of all families there are there for more than a year. And I can tell you, that's going to leave a lifetime legacy
just
on them.
To pivot to another, what appears intractable crisis, this being health. The Social Democrats want to extend free GP care to everyone under the age of 12, as well as funding to be spent exclusively on children's spinal surgeries. Labour would commit over 1.1 billion of new current spending to health and disability. People Before Profit, as mentioned earlier, wants to hire 375 clinicians required to clear assessment of needs waiting lists for children with autism. Of course, we saw those protests today. And Sinn Féin would spend 334 million in increasing hospital capacity and to invest in new beds. Suzanne, obviously we're talking there about throwing money at problems. Did anything stand out there for you?
What I liked to see was the emphasis on mental health supports. I was really, really encouraged to see that. And again, I'm giving away my age now to everybody who's listening, but the HRT was mentioned quite a lot as well in some of these documents. So that was pleasant to see.
What about this free GP care extension to children under the age of 12 from the Social Democrats? Is that really a targeted enough measure for you?
It goes back to that thing, though, again, as you know, as you were saying, where are the GPs? So having access to something for free that I can't actually access, there's a question mark over that. So yes, in theory, you know, we're always going to say, yes, this is welcomed. But unless you put the resources in to make sure that those families have access to those GPs, and across the country, that's not really happening. You know, I think that it's, as you said, putting money into one aspect of it and saying, OK, we'll put money into the GP cards and then making sure that every family has access to a GP.
I mean, there's no doubt the workforce for mental health, GPs, disability services is a social workers, teachers, you name it, is an issue in Ireland at the moment. And we're not doing enough work, I think, to promote public service and the role you could play. But the only thing with the GP card, like what we do know is that when families have to pay, and it's, you know, those 1 in 5 families in the 4-step privation, and those ones caught in the middle, you know, instead of cutting your USC, putting it into free GP care can be really important, because what families do is they don't bring their child to the doctor. They wait a week or two or three before they can work up the money, the €50 they need to pay the consultancy fee. So that is an important measure if they could get over the line.
And Jack, is it true you were hearing there might be lots of Domino's pizza into Hawkins House this weekend? Quite a lot of the health budget still to be finalised.
Is Hawkins House still there?
You know what I mean. It's late in the night.
Yeah, fair enough. So the health budget is interesting this year, because they did an almost mini budget kind of on the QT earlier on. Remember I was talking about ELS, existing level of service. So apparently that's all kind of provided for. But I was hearing actually yesterday that notwithstanding the fact that ELS is kind of tied down, that there is plenty of stuff still to be tied down in health. So when we look at the kind of things that have been trailed by the government so far in the health space, Stephen Donnelly focusing very much on women's health, which is something he's put a lot of political capital into. Free contraception, we saw a lot of coverage around the expansion of the age range on that. Expansion of state-funded IVF, funding extra staffing of beds in hospitals and nursing homes. We'll come back to the point that the panel has been making ad nauseum. You can fund these things, but can you find the people to do it?
Can any of the opposition proposals land a blow, so, or is the crisis just so entrenched, or a perma crisis at this stage within the health service?
I mean, I always think that any government is vulnerable on health. I mean, what is interesting is that health has not been as much of a kind of vulnerability for this government as previous ones. I mean, let's not forget, it was Simon Harris's performance in the health portfolio that effectively brought down the last government and exhausted confidence in supply. But Stephen Donnelly hasn't been put under quite the same amount of pressure, albeit some stuff around COVID. But look, if the election is on the far side of a winter and we get a bad trolley crisis, you know, those things are always politically toxic.
Tony, in a word, anything on health?
Just again, that it's money. We put money into it. We've been doing that for some time without dramatically improving the health system. And I think it comes back to more fully to what you were saying, that we have a situation where, whether it's the wage levels or the number of people, we don't get the people to work in public services the way we used to in the past. And that's partly because the private sector has done so particularly well. But no, I wouldn't have seen anything in the... Well, I would point out that Labour trumps the 12-year-olds, because they'll give free GB care to all children
as under the age of 18.
Olds, yeah.
Okay, well, that's an interesting one.
Well, so they're up on that one. But in terms of the particular measures, no, I don't see there's anything there that's dramatically effective.
Okay, back in a moment.
The Late Debate on RTE Radio 1.